Today on More to Life, let's connect. Are you struggling to feel as close as you'd like to be with someone? We want to help you build stronger connections. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, let's connect. We're talking about relationships in general. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. It could be marriage, could be family life, could be your relationship with adult kids, could be a friendship. But the reality is, we often find ourselves in the position of wanting to be closer to someone, but then feeling frustrated that we can't make it happen for whatever reason. Maybe there's someone in your life you care about, but tension, conflict, old hurts, or you don't know what is coming between you and them. Maybe it's disagreements about faith, politics, or values that have created a distance between you and your spouse or adult child or extended family member. Maybe there's some other challenge that's getting in the way. Maybe it's just time, busyness, other things that you're not sure of. We wanted to ask, if God was inviting you to build a deeper connection with one person in the coming months, who would that be? And what's holding you back? 877-573-7825.
Or maybe God doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. You're just hurt. You're just feeling that ache of, I wish I was closer to my sibling, my parents, my adult kids, my best friend who's drifted off over time, that work colleague that I really, really enjoy, but they'll never get together after work. We're all dealing with, all of us, some level of wanting more out of a relationship or relationships. They say there's an epidemic of loneliness, but it doesn't even have to be that you're lonely. You can be surrounded by a million people, but it could be that one person that you just really wish you could be closer to. Maybe it's even your spouse. So if there's that ache in your heart, or you're just thinking, oh, darn it, I just wish I could see them and we can never fit each other in and we don't get a chance to, ... Well, give us a call today. Let's help you figure it out. Feel better, feel more connected to that person, and yeah, to yourself and God as well. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, and I want to go back to something you were saying, Lisa, and I know you know this, but you were saying maybe it doesn't feel like it has anything to do with God. Maybe you hurt. But I want to point this out.
It's
like
it's not tongue-in-cheek.
No, I know you were, but I want to say, you know, that hurt. You know, God hears that hurt.
Yes.
God feels that hurt because his deepest prayer is that we would all be one.
Yes.
As you know, Jesus said, as He and the Father are one. That longing for that connection comes from God's own heart, and He wants to work with us and in us and through us to build those connections with others. And so we feel that same ache when we struggle to connect with our spouse or our kids or our friends or our extended family, and we have a tendency to kind of dismiss that and feel like somehow it's selfish, or you know, like oh well, you know, there are more important things to do. There isn't, because that ache for connection comes really from the heart of God, who wants to make all things new and make us one in Him.
For us to have full communion with each other and with Him, not only here, but in the communion of saints in our next life. And so A, I 100% agree with you. You know, God really loves us, really cares, and wants us to have that connection. But a lot of us don't stop to think about the fact that he really does understand and wants to minister to us, because there's nothing he didn't go through, including being left or rejected or betrayed by his friends. Everything from Judas betraying him, but the fact that many people who he loved were not at the cross. You know, his mother was at the cross, John was at the cross. There were
His closest friends fell asleep when he needed them the most.
Exactly. And he went through all of that, and we read about it in the scriptures so that we know that there is nothing that we can go through that God didn't go through for us and with us so that he could understand us better in his incarnate self as Jesus. So he wants to love you through it. He wants to heal you. And he wants to give you more connection to him and to others and more joy. So let's help you do that today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Show again titled Let's Connect, as we talk about that struggle we all have to be as close to someone as we might like to be, and the challenges we face in overcoming those obstacles or barriers that get in the way. Is there someone in your life that you care about, but tension, conflict, old hurts, or you're not sure what is coming between you and them? Maybe it's disagreements about faith or politics or misunderstanding or some confusion that's come between you. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be your spouse, adult child, extended family member, friend. But I just wanted to ask, if God was placing someone on your heart that you would like to be closer to but aren't sure how to make it happen, who would that person be, and what's holding you back? 877-573-7825.
And maybe it's not on their end. Maybe you're the one that's just mad. They did something. They are were cold in some way. And you're finding it hard to move past that in your life so that you can be closer. But maybe you know you should be, because they're family or a colleague or an old friend. And you're thinking, I shouldn't be like this, but I'm like this because I'm hurt or I'm really angry. What do I do about it?
We've all been there.
Let's help you out today on More to Life.
God wants to heal that.
Yes, that's right. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be reasonably asking, what can some theology do to help me build connection with the people in my life? Turns out a lot. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that really looked at this big question, how can we take everything God's given to us? Creation, salvation history, scripture. How could we just take all of that and discern some universal principles about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God created us for relationships, and that building the kingdom of God really means building life-giving communities of love with the people who share our lives.
Well, exactly. And you know, the theology of the body shows us that our relationships are meant to be the primary way the world encounters God's love. You know, one of the church fathers, Tertullian, famously said, "Look at those Christians. See how they love one another." We're meant to evangelize the world through the strength of our relationships.
But in real life, relationships don't always feel life-giving. They can be stressful. They can be frustrating. And unfortunately, they can be full of conflict.
And that's the reality of living in a fallen world. You know, the theology of the body doesn't ask us to run from those struggles or pretend that they aren't there. Instead, it reminds us that Jesus calls us to respond with love and responsibility right in the middle of the mess.
And that starts with letting go of the idea that relationships or the people in them have to be perfect to be supportive.
Well, that's right. You know, none of us are perfect, obviously. And we're all sinful. We all struggle. We all bring our wounds into the relationship. What makes the difference between a stressful relationship and a supportive one isn't perfection. It's whether the people involved are willing to admit their struggles and commit to working on them.
that mutual willingness to admit our own issues and to commit to growth, both personal growth and helping each other grow, is what St. John Paul II said was at the heart of healthy Christian relationships.
And that's how imperfect people build real communities of love and how God's kingdom grows, one relationship at a time. So who is that person that God's placing on your heart that you would like to be closer to but are struggling, either because of challenges on their end, those disagreements about faith or politics or values, those old hurts or disagreements, or on your end where you've been hurt and you're struggling to move through it? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring those people that you've placed on our hearts, those people that we long to be closer to in some way, but for whatever reason are struggling to make that connection, those adult children, that spouse, that family member or friend who we enjoy or who we care about, but for some reason can't connect with on the level that we'd like to. Help us to remove those obstacles, to resolve those differences, to see each other through your eyes, so that even when there are challenges or difficulties, we are able to reach across that divide through your grace and build the connections that you are longing for us to build, so that all of us might be one as you and the Father are one. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Let's Connect, as we talk about that struggle to feel as close as we'd like to the people in our lives. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I am a long-time listener, and I am struggling as an adult child with my relationship with my mother. My parents have been together my entire life. And my mom is a Carmelite within the church. And our entire family are devout Catholics. My kids are altar servers. And my parents live 3 to 4 minutes away. But I struggle because when she started going through her Carmelite journey about 15 years ago, it kind of really got stuffed down our throat that we should all be on a similar journey. And I've struggled my whole life with having a really close bond with my mother. And I just don't know how to mend it. She wants a deep relationship with me, and I maintain my distance because all of our family internal issues in my home kind of come out with all of our friends.
Well, so Andrea, you're kind of talking about the issues, talking around the issues, but if you and your mom got together today, how would that be problematic for you? Like, if you saw her, you know, for lunch, what would that bring out in you that would make you feel like I can't be around this person?
Word vomit. It's exhaustion afterwards. Because
when you say that word, you mean she just kind of talks at you the whole time and doesn't really listen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. She disconnects from when I speak, thinking of the next thing she's going to say.
And have you ever addressed this with her and just said, hey, Mom, you want a deeper relationship. I want a deeper relationship. That takes listening. What happens when you try that?
It's bizarre. It's bizarre because it's been the topic of several of our falling outs. We have actually had one of the fathers and the priests in our church try to help me mediate through it, and she refuses to go and talk to a priest with me. And I think it has to do with how closely knit she is within our church, and I don't believe she wants anyone to think that our family is having communication issues.
Mm-hmm. But what about when you address her directly? Like, for example, if she was doing that, you know, like you said, word vomit with you, say, over lunch, and you said, "Hey, Mom, I feel like you're talking at me and not really listening to me. Would you mind just, you know, kind of not doing this right? You know, just give me a chance to finish saying what I was saying." Like, what would happen?
I have said that, and mm-hmm. I've actually I normally just sit there and listen. She gives a lot of advice. That's mostly
right. No, but I'm saying if you were to do what I'd suggested and said, how would she respond to that, or how has she responded?
She agrees, but it just goes back into
okay. So here's the issue. What's happening is that she's using spirituality as a way of hiding an attachment wound. Right? So she's part of this Carmelite, a secular Carmelite order, which is a beautiful thing, by the way. I'm not in any way criticizing that. But we can use spiritual tools in healthy ways or in unhealthy ways. And when we use them in unhealthy ways, it kind of gives us a cover to because we can get to look holy to everybody else, but we end up actually being hurtful to others. And the word vomit, as you're calling it, logorrhea is the technical term, but the same idea. But it's this thing, she is keeping you at arm's length, right, with the spirituality, with the words. What she wants to be around you so she can say that she's in relationship with you, but she doesn't want to actually be vulnerable with you or anybody else for that matter. I'm guessing that if you looked at her relationships, she's around a lot of people but doesn't really connect with any of them except around concepts or around practices, but she doesn't relate to anybody. I think it's okay to have this, have some distance there, but if you're going to be around her, don't sit and listen. You want to challenge her, Mom, I love you and I would like to be in relationship with you, but you're holding me at arm's length. And if you want to keep doing that, then I'm going to have to go. And then you go. Like, if she keeps it up. And because you want to, on the one hand, you want to send the message that I love you and I'd like to be in a relationship with you. But on the other hand, you want to send the message that this isn't the way to do it. And I don't know if she's able to receive that message. But if she's not, I need you to understand that it's not about you. That there is a deeper attachment wound that she has never dealt with, that she compensates for by hiding out in spirituality and hiding out in being the expert and hiding out in being this exalted spiritual master. But it's all nonsense. It's all cover for this deeper wound where she wants to be around people but not be connected to them or not be vulnerable with them. And that's the deeper issue. It's not that Andrea isn't good enough or that that you could just jump through certain hoops that you'd finally find the right dance to do to get your mom to love you. It's that this is where she's at. And this is the defense mechanism that she's chosen to not deal with her issues. And I think that if you are able to be around her at all, then the best way to be around her is to challenge her on that consistently. And if she doesn't listen, then it's okay to say, "Well, Mom, I need to go," and hang up the phone, or, "Well, Mom, I need to go," and then leave the lunch, or whatever it is. Because if you need to send the message that I do want to be in a relationship with you, but not like this. Andrea, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more that we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program or at CatholicCounselors.com. We want to help you kind of heal the damage that this relationship has done to you and know how to move forward with it so that you can be open to a possible relationship but not get caught up in the drama and keep getting hurt over and over again. Thank you again for the call. We are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show's title, Let's Connect. And are you struggling to be as close as you'd like to be with someone you care about? We want to help you build better connection. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She'll be sharing some insights about building connection in family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's the new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Lisa Popcheck with CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, let's connect as we talk about the struggles we often have to be as close as we'd like to be with the people in our lives. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11, and brand new mother-in-law. Hey, Rachel, welcome
indeed.
To More to Life.
Glad to be here. So glad to be here.
Glad to have you here, fresh from a wedding in your family of your son getting married to someone he's been with for a while, and they're an amazing couple. But you've done this a couple of times before, and it can be really tricky. A lot of our listeners really struggle with this whole in-law thing. So what kind of wisdom do you have for us today on this?
I have 3 points. The first one is, of course, let God lead the way. You can always be a friend. And start with that. I'm just your friend. I wish the best for you. I want you to have the best and holiest life you can. But then be open to God drawing you into becoming a confidant, perhaps. Perhaps you will have an opportunity to become kind of a parent role. But don't jump into those roles first and foremost. Just be a warm and welcoming friend. The second point is make sure that you're offering invitations and not demands. They have a family now. Mine is Henry and Genevieve now. But they also have their family of origin, whether it's a son-in-law or daughter-in-law. So don't become the in-law who says you have to be here on Thanksgiving at the specific time, because that closes the door to them developing their own traditions, their own things that they like, and then the child might feel like their family isn't welcome anymore. And then the last one, and this is a very important one, is boundaries are for protection and not for power. Your in-law, your newest son or your newest daughter, are going to come in as their own authentic person. And if your family overwhelms them based on their your size or energy level, if they can only visit for short periods of time, welcome them with open arms and give them a kiss and hug and a blessing as they leave. But too oftentimes we set up great big boundaries for ourselves or great big rules and regulations that makes this newest member of your family feel like they've entered into a place where they're not welcomed, but where they're tolerated.
Or maybe in some cases not tolerated very well. You know, everything
exactly.
You are saying, I think, is very much you and Matthew. You know, the two of you are always very welcoming to everyone. You were open to life your whole life, and you're open to the lives that are brought into your life with your children and other people. But there are many of us who struggle with what do you mean I'm not the head of this family anymore or the matriarch of this family anymore? What do you mean we're not going to do it the way we've done it since my child was little? Why are you rejecting me? So we really have to take a few minutes or a while to kind of reflect on ourselves and our own need for, you know, having everything the same way, and really pray about opening our hearts to these people and this change in our lives, don't we?
Exactly. And we talk about this before. There are seasons in our life. You are now going from a single parent, as it were, with your spouse and that, to now having an extra set of parents involved. You know, Genevieve's mom and dad have become acquaintances. They're not friends. We don't need that from them, but we're excited that they're now a part of Henry's family. So we're excited to hear from him how they are doing. But if we just think it's all us and only us, then we're setting ourselves up both for sadness and possible isolation later on as our children put up boundaries because we have crossed theirs.
Really important insights, Rachel. I want to thank you so much for sharing these. I think it's helpful for a lot of people. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to beholdpublications.com to check out more about the Little Flowers Girls Club and becoming part of one or starting one in their area. Again, that's beholdpublications.com. To learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Thanks, Rachel. God bless you. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show today titled Let's Connect. As we talk about the struggle we all have to feel as close as we'd like to be with someone we care about, who's that person that God's placing on your heart to that you'd like to be closer to, but aren't quite sure how to bridge the gap or overcome the challenges that stand between you and them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
The Catholic Catechism tells us that an evil end can corrupt an objectively good act. Our Lord pointed this out when he spoke of Pharisees praying and fasting, both objectively good acts, in order to be seen by men, a morally corrupt end, which therefore corrupts all the actions. On the other hand, a good intention cannot justify an objectively evil action. One cannot turn fornication, a morally evil action in and of itself, by participating in it, even to save a life. Fornication is always wrong because it involves a disorder of the will, a moral evil. It is an error, the Catholic Catechism tells us, therefore, to judge an act merely by considering the intention that inspired it or the circumstances such as social pressure or emergency. The end never justifies the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you, and he gives us his grace to raise his kids well. That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were, they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent He wants you to be. Ask Him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent He's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Let's Connect, as we talk about the struggle we all feel to be as close to that person, whoever that person is, as we'd like to be. Could be because of tension or conflict or old hurts. Could be just disagreements about faith, politics, or values, or other issues. Whatever the obstacle is that's coming between you and someone you care about, we want to help you bridge that gap and build God's kingdom by making those connections one relationship at a time. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Linda, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Oh, good morning. Nice to be speaking with both of you. I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you. What can we do for you today?
I've been married for 43 years. Got married in a Catholic church, two grown sons. My husband is a workaholic. Both of us started our marriage out. We both come from alcoholic families. We did a lot of drinking. Fast forward, I've been in recovery for 36 years. We did a lot of counseling at the beginning. And my husband, he stopped drinking on his own without a conversation and went 3 years ago. But his behavior has not changed.
He's a dry drunk. What to call a dry drunk, right? Where he's abstaining from alcohol.
Oh, yes, I would use that word. Mm-hmm. And I try to go to Mass in the mornings. I say the rosary every day. And he's always, if I say the sky is blue, he says, no, it's not. There's clouds. It doesn't matter. I'm a retired teacher. It doesn't matter what ideas I have. They're wrong. And I'm really good about being silent. There's strength in silence, as the Bible says. And the other day, he just tore into me about something, and I rarely ever lose my patience, but I did. And I just said, I am not able to continue like this. This is just, it's like living with a roommate. There's no intimacy for 9 years. He's very prominent in our community at a hospital. He's 72 years old. We don't take vacations. We really don't do anything.
When you did that, when you said, I can't take this anymore, what did he do? How did he respond to that?
I would say that again, please.
How did he respond when you did that?
He got really upset, and I just said, I need my space right now. I'm setting a boundary with you. I cannot speak to you right now. I closed the door in the laundry room, and he banged it open. He said, no, we have to start over right now. I said, no, there is no starting over. I'm telling you, I just need my space right now. And this went back and forth for 5 to 7 minutes, and then he just broke down crying, which he rarely does in the deaths of parents, the whole bit. And I said, I just turned around, and firmly I just said, I'm grateful to see that you have emotions, but I still can't talk to you right now. I encourage you to go to counseling, which I know you reject for 30 years, but I'm in my own place, Pete, with the Lord, and I'm never surrendering my relationship with Him, but I can't live here consistently with you berating me, controlling me, and putting me down for every idea I have. It's just too painful for me.
And when where did things stand between you now?
Well, he actually, my son, our son came home from work in the middle of this, and he just stood in the hallway and he said, "What is going on?" Because we rarely do this. And I just said, "I'm very sorry. This has obviously nothing to do with you."
How old is your son?
We'll be 37. He has a disability.
Oh.
He has CP.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And he said, "Are you both going to be okay?" "Yes, we are." And
But where do things stand between you and your husband right now? Like, is there still that tension there, or have you kind of somehow
patched
that? Well,
there's tension. There's still tension. He did like he never apologizes, but he sleeps on his side of the queen bed. I'm on the other. But in the morning, he woke up and he just said, "I'm just so sorry about yesterday." And I looked him in the eye and I said, "I'm very grateful for your apology." But you know, he's back to his same behavior. Like today, he left me two lists of things I'm to do. You know, when I first was in recovery, also for an eating disorder, I was running on the women's national race team in San Francisco where we met. You know, the counseling, he'd say, "Good morning, honey, I love you, have a good day, would you be able to do?" Right? No, that's just lists.
So here's what I want you to do, Linda, all right? I mean, you've actually hit on something, okay? You know, we a lot of times, we have a tendency to think that, like you said, you know, that silence is the holy thing to do, right? And sometimes it is. Sometimes.
And I have to add to that, those of us who really think it is have often found that to feel right because we were silenced in our childhoods. And if you're an adult child of an alcoholic, which you both are, that feels right because it's what we had to kind of internalize as kids.
And to be clear, there are times when bearing wrongs patiently is the spiritual work of mercy that we're called to. And here's when we do that. When there is somebody that we are in relationship with who, generally speaking, is trying to do God's will in their life and trying to be the person God is calling them to be, but they mess up, right? They have a bad day or they have a bad moment. We can bear that wrong patiently because we know if we give them space, they're going to self-correct. They're going to come back to us and apologize. And that what they just need is that space to figure out who they are and get back to being who God is calling them to be. And, you know, we don't need to add to that, right? Then there's the other spiritual work of mercy, which is admonishing the sinner. And when you have somebody in your life who is not trying to live God's will, and who is not trying to be the person God wants them to be, regardless of what they say or pretend, right? I'm talking about their actual choices and actions, not the fact that they show up at church on Sunday or that everybody thinks they're an awesome person. But really, are they living the way God wants them to be, or being the person that God is calling them to be? If they are habitually not doing that, then the more space I give them, the worse they're going to get. The more I bear that wrong patiently, the more I actually accidentally enable them to continue to be destructive and hurtful to themselves and others. And so what you finally did, you got angry enough that you admonished him. And he was shocked. And it shocked him out of his complacency and challenged him for 2 days to be the man that he could be if he knew what he could lose in you. And I don't want you to threaten him. I don't want you to, you know, but I do want you to keep this up. So he gave you two lists. I would prefer you not to do anything on the list. And I want you to, when he comes home and says, "Why weren't these things done?" It's because you didn't say, like you said to me, Linda, you didn't say, like when we went to counseling, he was like, "Hey, honey, would you mind being able to do these things? Could we, you know, talk about how to make a plan to make these things done?" Instead, he just gives you a list as if you're just this slave to go off and do his bidding. Don't be that. He comes home. Why weren't these things done on the list? Because, honey, you didn't treat me like a person. Because you didn't say, "Hey, I need some help with these things. Would you be willing to help me out with this? Or can we talk about making a plan?" You didn't treat me like a human being. You treated me like a slave. And I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm a beloved daughter of God, and it is beneath you to treat me the way you are treating me.
Because you're also a beloved son of God. And it's fine to also say, "I appreciated your apology," but apologies have to be followed with actions. And you very quickly have slipped into what I said I cannot continue to live with day in and day out this way. So we need to talk about what changes we're going to make if you want to continue this marriage and to make it better.
You mentioned your husband's a workaholic. There's workaholism is actually a symptom of a deeper issue. It's a symptom of what's called avoidant attachment. Avoidant attachment is where somebody... They're really good at sweeping people off their feet. I don't just mean romantically. I mean like just being thought of as the great guy. You know, oh, he's such a fun person to be around. Oh, he's so generous.
They're saying he's very prominent at the hospital,
right?
And you know,
everybody thinks well of him. They're great at sweeping people up off their feet, but they don't know what to do with those people when they get them up there, except drop them on their rear end, because they don't have the ability to sustain relationship. They think that their job is to get people to like them, and then when they don't, when that person doesn't like them, then they have to put all that energy into getting them to like them again. And so you accepted his apology, so he said, oh, phew, that's done, and I can go back to being who I am. So the challenge here is keeping up the tension without giving into this idea that I'm just going to leave him. Right. So keeping that means doing things like he gives you the list and you say, look, I'm willing to do the things in the list if you sit down with me and treat me like a human being. But I'm not going to do any of these things if you just order me around and tell me that you treat me like your slave and expect me to go do this stuff. That's going to shock him. He doesn't know who that Linda is. But that Linda, that beloved, beautiful daughter of God, who's capable of being that prophetic voice and standing up for the kind of marriage that God wants you to have and the kind of man he's called to be and the strong woman that you're called to be, that's going to shock him. And that's going to make him take stock. And that's when he'll be more willing to go to counseling, for example, because he sees things are changing with him or without him, and he wants to be part of that change.
Now, I would encourage you, Linda, that if you're not in counseling yourself right now, that you get into counseling with somebody who can walk you through the steps of creating healthy boundaries that lead your husband to healing, to change, so that you can have the marriage that the two of you deserve after 43 years.
And so how you can learn to a different approach to holiness.
Yes.
that doesn't involve you just ceasing to exist and being silent all the time. To discover how you can be that strong, prophetic, beautiful, beloved daughter of God in this situation, and be a fully formed human being that is living abundantly and challenging your husband to do that too.
And you know, I wanted to say there may be one or two people out there in radio land who are listening and saying, they're in their 70s, they've been married 43 years, why should they do all this work? Well, A, they both deserve it. But B, we're here to learn to be loved by God, because when we get to heaven and he is fully present to us as love, complete love, we need to have been tutored by those who love us here, tutored by the Holy Spirit, to be accepting of that, to be healed of all the past wounds, to be able to truly be loved by God and to love him. That's what we're headed for. And so we need to take every day of our lives, no matter how many days we're given, to work toward that goal.
And God is giving you that time by giving you that long life. And I would say this, you know, in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which I'd encourage you to check out, we use the metaphor of the sacrament of marriage being kind of like a spiritual decompression chamber, right? You know, in decompression, and talk about like in scuba, if a diver comes up too quickly, they get
the bends,
yeah. When we go from this life where we only experience broken human love and we go into the full loving presence of God that Lisa was alluding to just a minute ago, it's like the bends. That's what we call purgatory. It's to go from this transition state of this imperfect love we've been living in to suddenly perfect love. There's an adjustment, right? And we have to kind of get to that place where we can receive and give all that love. Well, marriage is supposed to help prepare us for that. We're supposed to be able to look at our spouse and say, I love you so much and you love me so much that I know there must be a God, because you couldn't love me as well as you do without him.
And so God must love me very much so I can
experience
start to
healing,
open my heart to being loved by God as I'm being loved by you.
That's one of the reasons marriage is a sacrament, because it prepares us for that love that God wants to give us in the next life. And so God is giving you the chance to fight for that, for both of you, because you both deserve to receive that and you both deserve to learn how to give that. And so I hope that you'll take up that call. And if we can support you in that and help you find faithful ways to respond to these challenges and strengthen you, let's say if your husband won't be willing to join you initially, strengthen you first and then get you guys to a place where you can work on this together. I hope you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But either way, check out For Better Forever. And Linda, I hope that you would be encouraged by the things that we've shared with you today to continue to not be silent, but to be that prophetic, strong, beautiful, beloved daughter of God that comes into herself, the self that God wants you to be, and invites your husband to be that man too. Thank you so much for the call, Linda. If you'd like to follow up, CatholicCounselors.com. We'd love to continue the conversation with you. All right, with that, we got to go break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35.
And again, the Holy Spirit working. These scripture verses are picked way before the show ever starts. And Linda, among everybody else that needs to hear this, I think this is God's putting the final exclamation point on our discussion. John 13, 34, verse 5. I give you 34 through 5. I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. John 13, 34 and 35.
Amen. Really, again, that reminder that Jesus is giving us the great commandment, the thing to do, which is to learn to love as he loves, not with our broken human love, but the love that comes from his own heart. That's what all the sacraments are about, but especially the sacrament of marriage, and orders for that matter. Mm-hmm. That heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love others the way God wants us to. And so anybody who's listening, who's Linda or anybody who's in her position, or struggling with other marital family issues, God wants us to make that job one, to really work to heal those relationships so that we can experience and share the love that comes from his heart. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Let's Connect, as we talk about that struggle to be as close to others as we'd like to be. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Looking for practical, faith-filled help to build the marriage you're longing for or become a more confident Catholic parent? I'm Lisa Popcheck, co-founder of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM for Catholic Households on Mission. The Catholic HOM app gives you daily coaching, creative tools, and real-life support to help your family thrive. Subscribe to the Catholic HOM app today and discover the path to a more rewarding, faith-filled family life.
2026 promises to be a great year for travel to explore the Bible and our Catholic heritage. Steve and Janet Ray here. We're scheduling our favorite pilgrimage sites just for you to enrich your faith. Ireland, Lourdes and Fatima, our St. Paul Mediterranean cruise. As always, we have the best Catholic guides, hotels, and restaurants in our famous time-tested Footprints of God pilgrimages.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Let's Connect, as we talk about the struggle to be as close to the people we care about as we might like to, and overcoming the obstacles that stand between us and them, whatever they might be. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sylvia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Sylvia, welcome to More to Life. What's up? Sylvia, are you there?
My adult son is an atheist, mm-hmm. and it breaks my heart.
Sure.
I try to make him believe. I pray for him, and mm-hmm. he just doesn't want to hear it.
It says on the board here that he wants proof, and then he just won't accept anything that you say. Is that correct?
Right. I tell him, pray, and you'll feel the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't.
So let me ask you, a lot of times atheism is an intellectual cover for an emotional wound. And I guess I'm wondering, what that wound might be. He's angry at God. He doesn't believe in God because he's hurt in some way. He's angry about something. I don't know if you know what that might be, but I think that until he addresses that deeper wound, he's not going to be able to believe, and he's using the atheism as an excuse for not dealing with the anger or the hurt. Does that resonate for you at all, or do you think I'm barking up the wrong tree there?
I mean, I don't know what to say to him.
So this is what you say. Honey, I love you. And I'm sorry you're struggling so much with the idea, in your belief in God. I know that you're hurting, and I know that you're angry about something, and I'd really love to know what that was, because I really believe that this is not about intellectual arguments. This is not about whatever. This is about somehow you feel hurt or left or abandoned by God, or like God didn't show up for you in some way, and I'd really love to know what that was. Because I believe with all my heart that God wants to heal that. And if you'd be willing to tell me about it, I'd really love to know. Because a lot of times we get caught up in the, well, I'm going to give you Aquinas's, proofs of God, or
begging, or whatever it is.
Or even, it's a very good step that you took, and say, well, just hey, you know what? Then let God prove it to you. Say, okay, Lord, if you're there, show me. Because I don't believe, but I'm willing to.
It's okay, Sylvia, to say, I'm not God. So I can't prove him to you. He proves himself to me every day, but I can't prove him to you. I'm not God. So ask God, just as straight out. Say, Lord, I need some kind of proof that you are real and you want to be in my life.
But most people aren't atheists because of some intellectual, philosophical thing. Most people are atheists because they have not felt the experience of God. They haven't seen God show up for them in some way. They feel hurt by God. And then they'll say, oh, what about all the evil in the world? That's a cover for the evil in my life. Mm-hmm. That's a cover for saying, I was hurt in some way. I did not feel that God showed up for me in some way. And I, rather than dealing with that, I'm going to project that onto the world, quote unquote, or some philosophical argument. It's got nothing to do with that. He's hurting, and he wants his mom to help him identify that hurt, and acknowledge that hurt, and affirm that hurt, and help him to see that he needs God to heal that hurt. Sylvia, it's a big job, but I believe that God is giving you the grace to make some inroads there. And I think, in addition to praying for him, I want you to pray every day, Lord, help me to be the mom he needs me to be, not just in this area, but in every area, and help me to know how to minister to that hurt that's in the center of his heart, so that I can help lead him to you and help him to find the healing that you want to give to him. Thank you so much for the call, Sylvia, and I hope that these suggestions will get you started. Our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, is really all about how to have these conversations in ways that our adult kids will be open to. Again, that's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Check it out. Thanks again for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's show, folks, but I want to leave you with this idea, again, that building the kingdom of God is not really about doing big things for Jesus. It's not about having great arguments or knowing apologetics inside and out. It's about relationship. You know, Jesus' great commandment is to love one another as he has loved us. His prayer was that we would all be one as he and the Father are one. If there is a relationship, especially a marriage and family relationship, that is strained, God is calling us to do what we reasonably can to overcome those hurdles and at least offer the invitation to healing. And if that person responds in any way, then to do the work that that healing requires, because that is how we really build his kingdom. Thanks for tuning in. If you need help to do that, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.